globe, especially in the realms of finances and politics and in the nations. These episodes will be of a sort that they will potentially cause those who are not rooted in God's word to be deeply disturbed. But those who stay in faith, stay in peace, stay in love, stay in fellowship, and keep sowing seed for the sake of eternity, they will experience a supernatural power that will cause them to be unmoved, unshaken, well provided for, and to walk in a much needed divine assurance, divine peace, divine power. Just think of that, all that. Woo! Peace, assurance, power, and divine and supernatural victory.
Amen.
Yes, those who stay in faith. Faith means you believe God above all the circumstances, in peace, in love, in fellowship, and keep sowing seed for the sake of eternity, will be blessed, empowered, joy-filled, sustained, and they will miraculously thrive even if the world around them is tossed with the tempest. Woo! That's but see, that's why we've got to keep going and keep going up upward. I was gonna say. Oh, you know, yeah. It was even, you know, during that whole COVID thing, churches shut down because of the lack of people and the lack of finances. In that year, and I know that they announced it too at Marietta, in that year we got more money in than any year in the entire history of this church. Is that something? But see, we never closed down either. We were sneaking around. Well, we'd say, yeah. Right. Well, and there were supposed to be 10 people in church, but actually I didn't know that. Too many showed up, and I said, just stay away from the camera. No. Hi, camera. Well, I hated to, you know, push them out of here once they got here. So anyway, okay, well, we're going to continue on. It was different last week because it was, you know, Easter week, and but we're going to, week before is about fear, and so we're going to continue talking about fear. In just a little bit, it says Romans 8:15. It's, if you want to put that up there. See, when you got born again, you received a lot of things. And one was authority over the devil. So, Romans 8:15 says, For the spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery. And that's what it is when you're in fear. Oh, to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cried, Daddy, my father, help. Now, I could just, you know what? That's easy said, but when the rubber meets the road, still saying that, when the rubber meets the road and you hear like a bad diagnosis of yourself or someone else or your loved ones, you, that little creature, that little stinker will try to do, but know that you're going to have feelings of fear. That doesn't mean that he's taken you over. Don't, that doesn't mean that. Okay, so let's see, Luke 10:19. And 20. Okay. Behold, listen, hearken, advertise it. I have given you authority. The King James says, behold, I have given you power. But you know what? Start saying authority. Because that's what that word means. It means authoritative power. And power, see, to trample on serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, which is zero. And nothing shall in any way harm you. The enemy has been defeated, and he has no more authority or power. Verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life, or in heaven. And now, this is true too, though. You cannot, people say, I'm going to say it, once saved, always saved. But I have got a lot of scriptures that say your name can be erased from the Lamb's Book of Life. It can be erased. That's all I'm going to say. Sometime I'll give you, I have all kinds of notes on it too. Okay, so fear is being timid, cringing, cowardly, and sometimes we don't face things. Been there. And it's what happens is it's fear that's actually counseling you. If we don't face some things, fear will stop our anointing. It'll stop our gifting of authority. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:7. See, fear is not just a feeling. It is a demonic spirit. Yes, and it's a big one. Yep. It is the cause of almost everything else. Fear, sickness, mental illness, all kinds of things. Poverty. Depression. Yep. Now. So God, okay. For God did not give us the spirit almost like, we'll do this one and then put King James up. For God did not give me a spirit of timidity. Come on. See, timidness. Yeah, come on. Should I say that? I don't know. Yes. Okay. When children are overly shy. Try to get them out of it because that spirit is trying to take hold of them. That early of an age, it will try to take hold. Seriously. Hide right away, behind mama's skirts and scared of and try to take hold of that. I know of a mother who her child was very fearful of going. Okay, so she put him in a little preschool, and a good one though, at the age of 3. And it really helped him though. Helped him. Homeschool. No, it was a regular, but it was Christian. Yeah, but it was because it moved him out. Mm-hmm. Honestly, parents, there's just little tidbits that you learn over the years. Okay, but anyway, he has given us the spirit of power, of love, and a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Okay, so if you have a spirit of fear, you might start swearing right off the bat, screaming at people, screaming. And it's just like, you're nice, but you just, you think, well, that person, is a really nice person, and you just barely say something, and they start screaming at you. It's happened, it's like, huh? My mouth dropped to the floor, because it's way out of control. And that, we, as a Christian, there's something not right. Okay, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound, disciplined mind. So it's not just a feeling, although you can feel it. It is a spiritual power which we have total authority and dominion over. And see, this is one of, this is just, I'm reviewing. This, okay. When you first, well, I'm not sure what I was going to say now. But when you first get born again, you know, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. And actually, I'll think of what I was, there was something that, stuff hits you. All of a sudden it goes, but it's always while you're talking. And then you go, what was it? I'll get it. Okay. Now, love, when you have perfect love inside of you, though, that fear, you cast it out right away. So everything depends on your love walk. A lot of stuff it is. It, this guy, you know, in the gospel said to Jesus, he said, well, what should I do? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. But here, a lot of people don't love themselves, so that it's hard for them to love someone else. How? And he says, on this hangs all the laws and all the commands. On love hangs everything. Prosperity. You know, giving. If you give out of bitterness or you're in unforgiveness, that's another thing the Lord says, go back to some of your forgiveness ones, even the simple one when you first came in. Yeah. See, why does love cause us to treat fear like that? Because fear flies or just slaps the face of the God we love. Because fear calls God a liar. It says, really, when you come down to it, it says God's not going to protect you in this situation. He's not going to do this to you. All this stuff we're talking about, he's not going to heal you. And it, you know, but see, and remember this, though. Feelings don't necessarily mean that spirit has a hold of you. Hebrews 13:5 out of the Amplified. Let your character, moral disposition be free from the love of money. It didn't have to be free from money, but it has to be free from the love of money. Including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. Be satisfied with your present circumstances. Really, that is, the part that I want is just coming. For he, God, himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, of support of any kind. I will not, I will not, I will not. And in the Greek, it actually is repeated 3 times. That word that it was translated from repeats it 3 times. I will not, where was it? I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, nor relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. All right. So sometimes we gotta live with fear for so long in different areas that you no longer recognize it.
That is true. Yes, amen.
Sometimes you don't recognize that.
Yep.
And see, sometimes the decisions we make, actions we take, we're deciding that because of fear rather than faith. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare.
Yeah, that's big. But
I've been guilty of that one.
Oh.
Fear of man
has
made me do stupid things in the past. Yes. But that actually, that kind of fear Now, don't get mad at me.
Come on.
Because I'm admitting that that was a biggie for me.
Come on.
It's actually pride.
Yeah.
And it's spiritual pride also. Plain pride, spiritual pride. Competition. Unforgiveness. Ouch. Jealousy. Envy. It could be stemming from anger and wrath and fakeness. Insecurity. Well, if you're fake, that's because you're insecure. You're insecure, and it's just acting like fake. Okay. Greed, selfishness, worry, depression. They're all based and rooted in fear. Don't get mad at me. See, people get mad at me, but all I am is repeating the Bible. And half the time I'm telling you I'm guilty of this stuff. See, so when those thoughts of fear come, don't entertain them. Or don't give a place to the devil by listening to him. Well, at the beginning of this, what should you do? Sing! Start singing. And then, I'll raise a hallelujah instead of being fearful. Okay, now these are all, this all review from that very last time. It's very important. Don't allow fear to confuse your understanding of how God deals with you. See, he deals with you based on love and not fear. Man, I tell you what. I did it. I thought I knew stuff. And I can remember when Nancy Dufresne said that, anything that makes you feel bad, anything, anything that hurts, anything that puts you down, that someone said, be right in your family. No, but all of that, that is not God. It is not God. It hurts even your body. It hurts your feelings. It makes you incapable. It is not God. And that's huge. So don't have partnership with fear. Rebuke it. See if it condemns you. See, God wants to renew your mind with the Word. And then your mind will become sound, disciplined, calm, and well-balanced. But you got to keep God's words in your mouth, in your thoughts, and fear won't find a place. But that takes huge. I mean, you can go, look how long, 43 years, and you're fighting this stuff. Well, okay, the more you get to know the... What did Joyce Meyer say? She said, the further you go, higher level devils. Yep, Brother Hagin said it. Yep, he did. Yep. Okay, so that's why, whoops, I'm cutting out. That's why you've got to stay in the area of faith. And that's why even daily you have to say some scriptures that will build you up. But folks, please... operate in integrity when you go out to the outside. Operate in integrity. Okay, so am I started on the one I wanted yet? Nope, not yet. Okay, so let's see, what else? This. See, if you're still believing and speaking the word. Okay, remember the house that, the two houses? One was built on the sand. And one was built on the rock. And the same kind of storm came. And it started to rain first, you know, and then it started to rain so much. This is hurricane. And then it started to flood. Then the wind started to blow. And it became worse and worse and worse. And the house that was built on the rock stood. And the other one fell and was destroyed. Now, you're the house. But have you ever thought, my gosh, where am I at? Because, I said a little bit about this, that we've got to be strong. Stuff happens. You hear a report. You get those feelings of fear. That doesn't necessarily mean that the spirit of fear has you. You're bound to get a feeling of fear, diagnosed with cancer, you know, whatever. You're going to die in 3 months, whatever it is, you know. But you continue to speak the word. And yet you see, like, you hear your husband's or your wife's going out with somebody else. And, you know, it gives you butterflies in your stomach and makes, you know, anger, whatever it is. All kinds of situations in life. You lose your job. Whatever it is. And see, that fear comes in there. But it doesn't mean it has you. If you are still believing, you're still speaking the word, you are still standing. See, somebody that really has gotten a hold of you, totally give up. And God is still with you if you are making an effort. So always make an effort. And see, likewise, your faith wasn't failing just because you felt the storm. Right. I mean, if it's raining outside, you're going to feel it, right? Or just because it lasted a long time. See, as long as you're still standing on the word, at the end of the test, you passed. So see, being in faith doesn't mean you won't feel something, or you don't have feelings about it, or you won't have bad thoughts. But see, just watch those bad thoughts, because it can get to you to the point where you get so far down. Have you ever gotten really, like, kind of disgusted and discouraged? And so you just thought, well, you know, it depends. And then you just think, I'm just going to do something else. Now, with me, I play solitaire. No. Somebody else might go drink. Victoria got some Jacks. I still haven't given them back to you for Christmas from her aunt. And she brought them over to our house one night, and she left them there. And she never had opened them. And so I opened them one night, and I started playing Jacks. Because that's what... Because when I was little, that's all I played was Jacks. But you know what? It gives you coordination. It really gives you coordination, because you got to go bounce a ball, two, three, four. They took a picture of me. My daughter did. She went, Mother. See, but if you're still, sometimes you just got to do something else. You know what I mean? Go buy something real expensive. No, I'm just kidding. But don't, yeah. Husbands, I'm sorry.
I don't care.
But when you're in faith, you refuse to absolutely change.
That's right.
You absolutely, regardless how long the tests last, stay in faith and that storm will pass. Okay, now just remember that. All right, so, okay, now here. So, fear is the opposite of faith. And the two cannot exist in the same place at the same time. And fear is Satan's number one weapon against a Christian, because you can banish fear with the word of God. So the Greek for fear, and it makes sense, is phobos. Phobos. Phobias. You know? Fear of this, fear of spiders, fear of darkness, fear of everything. Fear of driving. You wish? No, No, I don't wish. You know, fear of heights. But some people, it's so bad that it actually, it just paralyzes their life. So the Greek for fear is phobos, and it means flight, dread, or terror. It also means being cowardly. Timid, and we said that, shaking and trembling. But then on the other hand, another word for fear means reverence.
Yes.
Right. See, that's a big one right there.
Right?
Yeah.
Fear of the Lord. It's reverence. It's just the opposite of those other words. See, so the best word is aphobos, which means without fear. So Luke 1:74 says that he would grant to us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him. You could put it up there if you wanted, without fear. And at times you can be fearful of other Christians, their opinions, or what we do, or what you don't do. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, I have. And as I said before, Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare to your life. Go to Isaiah 51, or did you put that one up there first? Okay. And they said, what further evidence do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. From the mouth of God, what you have heard is truth. Okay, so go to Isaiah 51:12-13. Okay, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of man? Who shall die? Isn't that the truth? And of a son of man, who shall be made as destructible as grass? Right? Why are we afraid of man? Instead, we need to have more fear of God. Instead, and we've got all these scriptures. And so we need to get them inside of us, though. And you got to reach the place where your priorities are in following the Lord and his word. Regardless of whether you are pleasing to people or not pleasing to people. Remember I told you that there was that thing of leaving, you know, the church that we were a denomination of. And then I flipped the Bible open, and you can do that when you're a baby Christian, but you ought to flip the Bible to where you want when you're a mature Christian. Okay, but Galatians 1:10, and put it up there because this, okay. Now, it was like, okay, if Ken comes in, you know, we need to leave the place we are because that's not the truth. It's not where we're learning the truth. And I went, oh my gosh, relatives, family, all this going on. You know what? And I flipped it open and my eye hit right there. It's now, am I trying to win the favor of men or of God? Do I seek to please men? If I were still seeking popularity with men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. You don't really belong to him. I mean, I was a baby Christian, but boy, did I understand that scripture. has anyone ever said to you, I tried the word and it didn't work? Someone great said, no, the word tried you and you didn't work the word. That's a truth because you didn't put it out there. You got to speak it. That's harsh, but God never fails to keep his word. See, if you continue to stand in faith and don't give up, you'll get the answer. The trouble is people give up. Okay, what? He watches over his word to perform it. Jeremiah 1:12. Isaiah 55:11. Who knows that without me even... This is one of the key ones you should know.
You need to know this one.
Isaiah. Okay.
Come on.
That's right. You want to put it up there? Go ahead. What is it? Isaiah 55. What's Isaiah 54:17? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. So shall my word, though, that goes forth. I almost like it better in King James. Yeah. Some of those, they're easier to memorize, too. So shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper, even go way far over and above all that I ask or think in the thing for which I sent it. It will not return void. That's one of those key ones. It's good to say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, okay, blah, 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 blah. And that word will not return void. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. That word will not return void. But it shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which we sent it. Okay, so when things quit working, you have to ask, what is the problem? What's keeping you from receiving? Religion likes to say God's holding out on you. But somehow we are short-circuiting the power of God. Now, with me, this is a biggie. Oh, now don't get mad at me. It's all in God's timing. Oh, it's all in God's timing. No, it isn't. It's in your timing. You haven't been pushing the word forward. You haven't been standing in faith as much as you should. It is not in his timing. It's in your timing. If he could do it in your timing, he would love to just like that. Immediately. See, another one, what you just can't say that God does these things. And don't get mad at me, but this is the truth. It is not in his timing. It's in your timing. Yeah. Okay, let's go to Mark 5, and then we'll, at the end of this, we'll dismiss. Mark 5, verses 21 through 23 first.
King James?
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you for your word, Lord.
Okay. And when Jesus was passed over again by a ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed. He believed she was going to be healed if he would come, and she shall live. Well, now stop there for one. See, now, his confession of faith was, she shall live. And he was calling things that be not as though they were. Okay, verse 24 through actually 30. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. In other words, there were so many people that it was like wall-to-wall people, and they were pressing on it.
Yeah.
Now, just think, I mean, she was at the end of her money. She was at the end of her rope. And she had suffered many things. You know, they used to do bloodletting with, what do you call them? Leeches.
Leeches, yeah.
They did bloodletting in order to cure somebody. You know, they actually practiced that somewhere in the world yet. And she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, she didn't just say that at the whim. She had been saying it and saying it and saying it. But one thing about this woman, when you had an issue of blood, just you could not go out in public just like a leper. And if you did and they caught you, they would stone you. And guess who she's standing right in front of? Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. Just think, the ruler of the synagogue. So she was taking a chance. Now, she had said that the one before that, if I may touch the hem of his garment. That's how she was standing, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. See, and that's how they did that with healing in those days anyway. But if I could just touch it, if I could just touch it. God, by the stripes of Jesus, I've healed. If I could just get to understand that if I could just go over it and 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 over it. And you know what? She finally had so much faith that she got gutsy. And she went, she said, I don't care what's the difference. I'm dying anyway. From this constantly, she was bleeding all the time. And yeah, and so she said, if I die, I die. If they stone me, I stone me. They stone me. Okay, let's keep going now. But sometimes you got to think of all the things that happened inside of the story. And straightway, she touched the hem of his garment. And immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus immediately, even though there were all kinds of people pressing in on him, and they wanted to be healed, he knew in himself that virtue had gone out of him. Why did it go out of him? Because she was in faith. Right. And it turned him about. He went, turned around, what was somebody? And he said, who touched my clothes? Okay, so if Jesus would have just kept walking, things might have been different. But he stopped and he asked, who touched me? Okay, 31 through 34. And his disciples said to him, oh, for crying out the bucket. You see all these people? My gosh, Jesus, there are so many people that everybody's like this crunched together. And you're saying, who touched me? They're all touching you.
He was Jesus.
Okay. I messed that one up, didn't I? No. Go ahead, the next one. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. See, he knew immediately. Faith attracts faith. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, but it was more like, oh my gosh, you know, she was just thrilled, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. One more. And he said it to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Now remember, this woman nobody was born again because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross. So see, she told him all the truth. Did you ever stop to think how long it took that woman to tell Jesus about the 12 years of illnesses, of the physicians, and all the money she spent? And all the time, she was talking, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue who could stone her, was standing there knowing that every second counted, and she was taking up Jesus' time to get to him then. And then, Jesus ministered to her on top of it. 35. While he yet spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain bunch of guys, whatever, who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble you the master any further? Just think. Jairus heard the worst fear-provoking words any parent could hear. Right? She's dead. But Jesus did not give him time to react. Now, that's when your words are important. Life and death are in the power of your tongue right at that time. I don't know if this is true, but I just think Jesus went, he said, verse 36, fear not. Go ahead. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler, be not afraid. In another one, it actually says, just fear not. Only believe. In other words, and shut up. Shut up. Because you could say, what? Oh, my gosh. No. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm going to stone you, lady. You took up all this time. And in Luke 8, 50, and we won't put this up, he said, fear not, believe only. She shall be made whole. See, and we probably would, or, no one being honest, oh, I'm so sorry. I know you're frightened, and it's understandable. Just express your feelings. No, I don't think I would anymore, but in the past I would have. I would have said that. But see, Jesus knew that when you tolerate fear of any, now I'm talking to you guys. See, any kind, you kill and you contaminate faith. You kill it. And so you really got to watch your words. A lot of this has not been taught about the word thing. It is important what you say out of your mouth. And at a key times.
Life and death.
Yeah, it is totally life and death. So it is impossible to be in fear and in faith at the same time. So was it impossible for Jairus to obey that command of Jesus? No, even though that was a very high-pressure situation, it's not impossible for us either. And remember, Jairus isn't born again either. Now, because Jesus absolutely, now you know this, he absolutely conquered that power of the spirit of fear when he redeemed us. I'll just never remember the night something really happened kind of in the family, and I couldn't sleep, and I went on the couch. I just even hesitate. I've told you this before, but I don't know what that was. It was almost about like, it was almost appeared like witchcraft almost. Because I was okay, and I put on Nancy, whoever it was, Kenneth Hagin, somebody, on my phone, and it was right on the top of the couch. But finally, I finally kind of laid my head back, and I fell asleep. And all of a sudden, I woke up, and I was suspended in the air, slightly. My legs were going, and they were going like this. And I went, and so my hands were too. And I went, no! Yeah, I mean, it just came, and I screamed. I jumped up, and I said, "You!" And it just flew out of my mouth. Yeah. You spirit of fear, I bind you and command you to get out of here. You don't belong in here. You have no right over me. I mean, it just...
It worked.
I'm telling you something. I've never experienced anything like that in my entire life. And then, of course, like a few days, about a week later, the devil was saying, you had a seizure. You had a seizure. You had a seizure. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. That wasn't, I don't know what it was, but I've never had it that ever again.
Amen.
But I can tell you that the situation that I encountered with the family thing was very serious. And it was, it was extremely serious. To me, it was anyway. And I don't know. I'm telling you, but you got to be ready.
Yes.
It's a yeah. Just like that. I was my legs were way up in the air. So were my hands. I don't know where my body. I don't know. But all I know is I just went, no. And jumped up. Okay. So that was maybe 5 years ago. 6 years ago? Okay. I don't know. Okay. But so Jairus wasn't born again, but Jesus was at his side, and he refused the fear. And it should be easier for us as born-again believers. See, he went to Jairus' house where people were already grieving and told them she wasn't dead but sleeping. 37, verse 37. Yeah. And he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, because they were going to go in the house. And James and John. Now, just think, he had all those disciples, but he only had three that he could ever trust. And Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Okay, go ahead. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeing the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Go ahead. And when he was come in, he said to them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but she sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he put them all out, there are sometimes, who knows Mark Hankins?
Yeah.
Mark Hankins?
Yeah.
Big preacher from Kenneth Hagin's. Yeah, and Trina. Trina had she had a brain tumor. And she had surgery, and I am not kidding you, he did not let his relatives in to the room because it was so serious. And now you see her preaching with him. She is one of the Ramos, Patsy Caminetta's sister. And, she was at Rhema, was very close, a prayer warrior with Kenneth Hagin. And there, and this lady herself, I mean, she preaches. And she preached before that.
Jackie, this is what she said right here.
Oh, that's the one that said, yeah, okay. Her husband, I think, maybe she did. God is on my side, for the blood has been applied. Every need shall be supplied. Nothing shall be denied. So enter into rest and know that you are blessed. For you have passed the test, and you will have God's best. And they said she, in 8 months, we're talking 8 months. He stood on healing for his wife because they said she could be brain damaged and all this, but he stood on that. And that had to take a lot of guts not to let a lot of people in there. Oh, shoot, you got to go, huh? Oh. Okay. Well, anyway, she preaches now. She's just fine. She's peers with them. And these are high-ranking Rhema people, just as high as Kenneth Copeland and a lot of them, because they have mission places all over the world and big, so many healings. And he, when he preaches a lot, you laugh a lot. Too. He's the one that writes a book on the blood that Pam gave me. Oh, that book is good. Ooh, because that's his mother always said, I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. So then he goes to school, and she had the most trouble with him. I mean, he was in jail like Randy Greer and everything else. Not in prison, but in jail. But he was naughty. And she prayed for him, and she said, I pleaded the blood over you all the time. He said, well, I went to school, and that is not biblical, that you could plead the blood. She said, I don't care what you say. I'm going to keep pleading the blood. And he said she would go around and go, I plead the blood. When the Pentecost, like when we run, and she was getting old and she couldn't, and she would, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. And she would go all the way around the church. And he said, you know what? Now that's all he talks about is the blood. But he was embarrassed as his mother, he said, all that time. And she, you know, that was cool. Anyway, they left him to scorn. And he put them all out, and the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with them, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, and she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly, no man should know it, and commanded something should be given her to eat. That's interesting. Give her something to eat. Okay, well, that took great faith. Now, let me say, fear is serious business. And it could mean life or death. Because just as faith is the spiritual connector to God and his promises, fear is the spiritual connector to the devil. And I'll tell you, if you allow it through a lifetime, it can curse you. Okay, but let me make one point here. Don't condemn people for being in fear, though. You have never worn their shoes. I'm talking now, we don't jump at people now because they're brand new and they're coming in with fear. We're here as older Christians to help deliver them. And that's my whole purpose. And you be gentle. You be gentle with them. Because I know times when somebody would be kind to me, like in a church or something, I go to them. I feel free with them. And it makes me feel good. Okay, anything that doesn't make you feel good and it condemns you, you are operating in the devil's territory and not God's. People love people. You don't bawl them out. You've never worn their shoes. And don't dare judge them or think or say, well, if you haven't been such a sinner, you wouldn't be in that state. You need to repent. See, faith will never work that way, and you'll never get anywhere. Faith works by love. And we have no business deciding who has faith and who doesn't. And so if someone is weak in faith, have faith for them. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that's older Christian and, and they've been going to church and going to church and going, and they just... It doesn't, they're not operating in what should be operated in. I'm sorry, it was, Ken, you better save that. Maybe I better rewrite it.
I'm glad I had that, though.
I am too.
I say that.
Yep. So, fear and faith. And sometimes maybe that'll make you do something that, you know, go and, do something that you've needed to do. And it could even be a correction, though, on someone. Now, I mean, that is, because if that person is constantly in, there's times I haven't wanted to tell people stuff because I was in fear of them. I got to admit that. I was even afraid of my relatives when that, you know, I've had trouble with that all my life. So that's why I'm telling you, but God will be with you. Did you have some? That's right. In fact, I think I wrote that down. Fear tolerated is faith condemned. In fact, I had a few things here. There's just so much, right? You can have a fear of man, fear of man, or fear of people stealing stuff from you, and you it'll drive you to the point where it's going to affect your mind. Yeah. That's why I left all the windows open in our house. I don't mean open. I mean there's no curtains on. Yeah. Because honestly, when we moved out there, because it was out in the country and there aren't any lights like you have in town, I'd have drapes. I had heavy drapes, you know, these kind of drapes, and then the drapes over them. And I go, is there one little thing corner in there that's... Now it's like, hi, everybody. You dare talk. Anyway, so Father, we thank you that God, you did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. We have the mind of Christ and all the thoughts, feelings, plans, and purposes of God. I thank you, Father, that this will get into all of these people, Lord God, that that it will not be stolen by the enemy. Anything that we have said this day, and Lord, that they will take it seriously. Oh, I'm not afraid. Well, there may be things that come up in the future, in the testing, Lord God, and that we will stand strong in faith on the Word of God. We thank you, Father, that you're opening up the eyes of our understanding to all of these things, bringing us to a higher level. And we thank you and praise you that we might also teach it to other people. Yes. Living Word, that we live the Word. When the rubber meets the road, that we put this Word out, we use the Word, and then we teach it to other people how to overcome. We praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.